Mark Lukey's with me, and Brandon's behind the glass. Thanks for being here, Brandon, taking care of us. The four outdoorsmen. Boomer, what's new with you, my friend?
I am tired of shoveling. You guys, yes. I am just whooped. I got out there today, guys. You guys know I got a long driveway. Ran over the wire leash for our Springer Luma with the snow plow, so I shoveled by hand. So I am physically whipped. That's why I'm having coffee. Happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes.
Marky, how about you, pal? What's going on with you?
I'm doing great. Just recovering from our great trip to Devil's Lake. And what else? I bought a new couch. Well, and I've been shoveling snow. That's about it.
Yeah, this is the 4 hour
You said
we're
our
talking
great
about
trip to Devil's Lake, didn't you?
It was supposed to be to Devil's Lake, but we went to Mille Lacs.
I thought you were being facetious. That's awesome.
So you know, I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
We should tell you storytellers, you over there, should tell the story of what happened, why we went where we did, and take it from there.
Well, I tell you, well, it's a lot of fun. When Devil's Lake is our premier sponsor, has been for years. Love them. We go there as much as we possibly can. But we were all set to go there for our fishing trip there, our annual winter fishing trip, on Monday morning. And I went to Mark's house. And Eric was there, Eric Eagle, Mark's friend. Eric was there, and Mark and Eric and I go to Boomer's house. We pick up Boomer. We go to the gas station, and we're getting ready to head 6 hours straight northwest to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And all of a sudden, we look at the weather thinking, you know what? Maybe this is not a very good idea. So we went back to Boomer's house, made a phone call to Tanner, and said, Tanner, what do you think? And what happened?
And for the first time, as you guys know, Tanner is pretty gung-ho, right? He's always ready for us to get out there, get up early in the morning. And he's like, limited lake access, I don't think this is a good story. It's a good trip for you guys to do. And he goes, kind of doomer boomer kicked in. So we told Tanner that we love him. We're going to try to regroup. So the four of us are sitting in the house, determined to do something. But with the snowstorm, the wind, and all that, we really couldn't figure out what to do. So we said, run north, my friends, run north. So we took off north. We called friend of the show, Mark Schutz Fish Guiding Service, and our friends up at Izades. Yeah. Izades gave us some nice hospitality. And the next thing you know, we're out ice fishing on the southern reefs of Mille Lacs at about what time we start fishing? About 3 o'clock?
God, it was a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. And the bite was such a negative bite. And we talked to friends of the show, Scott Moe, who guides out of Appledorns, Jordan Dahl, who guides out of McQuaid's, friends at Izades. You know, we talked to a host of people, and they were all dealing with that negative bite because the temperature just kept dropping and dropping. And it didn't drop by like 3 degrees. It dropped like by 15 degrees.
Yeah, it was nuts.
And I'll tell you what, we caught a couple fish, but the craziest thing happened to me. So Strewman goes over to visit with you guys, you and Eric, and Eric is one heck of a stick too. And Mark had a walleye or two and a jumbo perch that was
jumbo.
About 3 inches.
What point does it turn into a jumbo perch?
Yeah. I'd say at about 11 to 12. Okay, we could call that a jumbo.
It's bigger than the four letters.
And I had this red mark that was messing with me on the Vexilar while Strew's over there yakking. Finally, after 5 minutes of playing with this fish, I get it up about 4.5 feet, and I hear the thunk. I feel the thunk. I be the funk. I pull the hook set on it. Bring it up. It's fighting like a great fish. It was my personal best jumbo perch on Mille Lacs, guys, and it bit me at 6 o'clock at night. That doesn't happen. Perch bite during the sun.
You're the only person I know who takes pictures of the red marks on your Vexilar and going to put those on the wall. Because he gets, oh, you should have seen that red mark. Oh,
I tell you what, though.
You guys get red marks? Oh,
for our listeners out there, that fish was about 1.5 pounds. That's a nice jumbo perch.
That was a beautiful perch.
It was fat. It was healthy. Strew man, behind the scenes, Mark, you didn't know this. So I'm like, Strew, can you get some pictures with me holding this?
I took a picture
for
you.
The first 5 pictures, your finger was covering the camera on the iPhone.
No, that's
awesome.
How big the fish was. My finger was covering the fish. That's how big the fish was.
It was awesome. So,
it was good fish. It was good fish.
And then the second day, we decided to go out to the flats, is where everyone has been catching fish. And how did that go, Mark?
Well, it took a while to figure out how to get out there. The roads were an issue, and my truck has a tendency to get stuck in about 1/2 inch of snow.
He's
so
right.
We had to be very careful.
I've been there.
So we found our spot thanks to about, I don't know, 2 hours of debating where we were going to go and about 50 phone calls. And, of course, we decide to go about a good 1/4 mile from where we can park when it's really, really cold.
It's terrible. Let me tell you this. Okay, these guys... Boomer, I love these guys. They worked their asses off, and that's more power to you guys. But the roads weren't that good, so when we finally found a spot that Boomer called the honey hole, we could only get so close, and we had to go about a quarter mile, give or take.
It said 0.2 tenths of a mile.
It was
Which Eric is the smartest guy, and he's like, well, there's 5,200 feet in a freaking mile, it's only 1,000 steps. And I'm like, I don't know how you just did that, Eric, but it doesn't sound that bad. And what about the case, Drew,
too much work, pal,
where we had the Jason Mitchell thermal pop-up, which worked really nice.
It
was spacious.
It
kept us warm. You guys had the Warrior X.
You should have brought a pullover probably, though.
Well, it took us till the end of the trip to realize, Stru, why don't we load our gear in their sled
and then drag
it out versus carrying stuff individually out
Mark
to our
pop-up. Mark and Eric had a sled, and Boomer, who is my... I'm the Sherpa. Boomer doesn't have that stuff, so we're going to carry all of the stuff. And he's got a big, what is that, about a 10-foot fish house thing?
Yep.
And we had to go 2/10, maybe a quarter of a mile from where we parked, to the honey hole, and I'm carrying 2 Vexlars, the tent on my back, and chairs and all kind. I'm thinking, this is stupid, and I'm 67 years old. You guys are 37 years old. 30 years from now, when I'm dead, you're going to say, Struman was a hell of a trooper, because I tell you what, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, but you know what? We're down to the last hour of the bite on Tuesday
night,
right?
That was cool. Yep.
And there were some marks, negative bite. We were having some fun. And then all of a sudden, you can hear Mark, I got one.
Yep.
And you can hear that drag running. What happened, Lukey?
Tell
people how you got that fish to bite, which was absolutely amazing in itself.
Well, the whole day, both days, really, we saw lots of action on our Vexlars, right? So you could just tell that they just were not interested in biting. You saw a lot of fish coming up off the bottom. Ones you could tell were walleyes because they kind of were a little slower and lethargic, and they didn't dart back down like the little perch do. So what happened was I spent the whole day trying to chase these fish off the bottom, and then, of course, one just comes in screaming off the side and just nails it. So
isn't that funny how it works?
Yeah, so I didn't have to play with it. I didn't anything. We saw him. He came on the screen, and he hit it. So he hit it hard, and I could tell right away it was a big fish. And so I started screaming like an idiot, like normal. And then
it's a great video.
Boomer came over, and Eric did a great job of, pulling up the Vexlar and hand over handing. I did get stuck at the top of the, that dreaded feeling when you're stuck at the top of the
hole.
And
the hook will pop out of their mouth.
And you're like, oh, you lose 90% of your fish
there. I had about 4 texts from people who said, how come Mark didn't have his rod tip up? You were facing toward the hole.
We were so excited
to
have a walleye on the line at
that
point.
That was cool. Tip up, I think.
No. Look at the video. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Well, that was when Eric had a hold of the line.
Okay, you posted that on video, right? On Facebook.
Yep.
Did you post also his picture that you...
I have not done that yet.
Oh,
that is going to happen on the 4 Outdoorsman Facebook page. Because once that 26-inch walleye that Mark caught was brought through the hole... The look on Mark's face was like a 5-year-old seeing their stocking stuffed on Christmas morning. He was so jacked.
He looked just like that guy from Hangover.
He did.
Oh, it's really a great
photograph.
No, it was
great. I mean, that feeling when you pull him out and you see the head and you don't quite know. You know it's a big fish. You don't know how big it is. And it was a relief. It was after working so hard all day to finally catch a nice fish. It was great. It's probably, I caught a 26-incher on Mille Lacs last year.
Yep.
It was about the same size, and it was a healthy big fish.
This Mille Lacs walleye that you caught this year during ice fishing versus the one open water in the Alumacraft, it was really fat.
Yeah,
it was.
That was
a really healthy looking
walleye. Yeah, I want to talk about what I saw on Midwest Outdoors yesterday.
You know what? I was surprised as well, Stru. So Tanner and I filmed in the Alumacraft boats out in Devil's Lake for a couple shows. We hosted a show with Midwest Outdoors TV. And it aired on Saturday morning on Fox Sports North because John Marshall, friend of the show, had tagged me. So, of course, I'm jacked, guys. And, we love what we do, but we're still so humbled if someone comes up and says, hey, they listen to the show or you see yourself on TV or on a magazine or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So I watch it on YouTube with the family, all jacked up about it. And it was a really great trip that we had in Devil's Lake with the Alumacraft. We caught some monster walleyes. In fact, I caught my personal best walleye, I would say, for weight-wise on Devil's Lake that trip. And what we were doing is we were pitching just windblown shorelines against rocks or weed lines. And right away, I did a pitch, and I felt like a log. So I did a Mark Lukey hook set. You know the Mark Lukey hook set.
Oh, I do.
Right?
I've been there,
Jackson. Last thing I know, check it out on Midwest Outdoors TV, had caught this beautiful walleye. It was hot and sunny and windy and just had a blast out there. So tune in to Midwest Outdoors TV. We had a great trip with Tanner out there, and we caught some nice.
Now, I know
walleyes.
There's movie magic because I also work in the TV industry. How long did it take? Was it just one day, like one morning? How long did it take you to get that?
You know, funny story. You know, you talked to, remember Kurt Wallbeck, and he talked about all the hours that goes into it, or we had Jason Mitchell on the show.
Right.
We went to an original bay at first, and we were pitching a weed line that we fished the day before, and we were catching, you know, 18 to 19 inch walleyes. And so we went out there with the camera crew, Tanner and I did right away. And guess what?
What?
They were not there, Strewman. They were gone. So we decided to shift focus to a windblown rock line. And we were pitching in about 5 to 6 feet of water using the Clam Pro Tackle tungsten open water jigs. I was using like a 4-inch swim bait, little twitch bait. And on the second cast, I caught that monster, guys. And you couldn't believe it, because after that, I caught a 26-incher, a 25-inch, and a 25-inch walleye all within 5 minutes. I couldn't believe it happened on camera.
Oh, no. Somebody was cheering for it. Hey, who was doing the videography for that?
A great guy. I forgot his name. I hate to say that, from Midwest Outdoors TV. He was with us. We filmed, you know, that 5 to 7 minute segment that you saw, Strew. We fished probably for about 7 hours.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah,
I imagine.
We caught some nice northern pike, but it was really nice towards the end of the day when we caught those 3 to 4 big.
You know, having fun is a lot of work. And when we left Mille Lacs on whatever day it was, Tuesday, I think it was, the weather was crappy. It was snowy. It was below zero, and the roads were terrible. I can cry. I can piss and moan if I want to. I gave Mark a brand new toy, man.
Can I add one thing to that,
yes,
Strew?
Yes, you can.
So Strew and I are out there the first night we get out there, Monday night on Mille Lacs, and we had that storm and that negative bite going. You know, the fish just weren't really active till that huge jumbo perch came through the hole. But I talked to our buddy Jordan Dahl again from McCoy's, and he's like, well, I don't know what you guys got going, but on your personal time, you know, I was really getting the bite on Mille Lacs last night between 8:30 p.m. And before Jordan could finish his sentence, I would have to bleep out what came out of Strew's mouth.
Ain't going
to
happen, pal.
But he said, basically, I'm not staying in this house with Boomer till 9 o'clock at night.
Ain't going to happen. I'll go back to some resort and buy 10 pounds of walleyes for $90 and head home.
Hey, what a big favor to Izades. I want to give them a huge shout out. They had great access to the roads on the south end of the lake. I know the wind was kind of blowing in the roads, but what a bunch of great folks at Izades. I really encourage people, when you're going out there ice fishing or you're going in the open water season, you're looking for a great place to stay. You guys enjoyed their golf course, didn't you, last summer?
In fact, I'm going to go out again this year. Mark Schutz, who is a guide at Mille Lacs, Fishing Throttle. What's this? Full Throttle.
Full Throttle Fishing.
And we went up there last summer, and Mark and I played around at golf and fished a little bit, and we had a lot of fun. Yeah, so he'll be donating a silent auction item to our Wildwood Lion Sportsman's Dinner here in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be 4 hours of smallmouth bass fishing on Mille Lacs, and I am going to outbid everybody so I can go fishing with Mark.
Speaking of Izades, Boomer and I will be there June 28th for the Wild on the Water tournament with Ron Chair Productions. So that's going to be a Saturday and Sunday event.
Is that locked in now?
That is locked in. Yep. So Sunday is open to the public. If you're a Wild fan, if you go down to Izades, you can get an autograph and see all the Wild players that are there. There was a bunch of them last year. A lot of former players too. The coaches, Bruce Boudreau is there. So if you want to meet some Wild players, if you want to meet the Four Outdoorsmen, and if you want to meet all my coworkers at Minnesota Bound, Ron's there, Bill Shirk's there, Lindsey Hayes is always there, Travis is there.
Is Laura going to be there?
Laura wasn't there. Oh, she was there last year. Yep. I know that she was there 2 years ago. So if you want to meet the gang, come down June 29th, Izades, during the afternoon, and say hi. It's free. Absolutely free.
If you're a new listener to the Four Outdoorsmen, hey, thanks for joining us. But you'll find out real quickly why every time these fishing expeditions come up, whether it's Teen Challenge or Fishing with the Minnesota Wild, the Strew Man never gets invited.
Hey, you can go.
I'm
it's free. You like free.
It's free.
Oh, yeah,
you
I can
like
show
free.
Up. Yeah.
So, hey, Do
we have any shout-outs?
Yeah, we have a couple shout-outs I'd like to get through. A shout-out from Billy Benson, who is the fishing fireman's brother, I guess.
Yes, he is.
They're on Mille Lacs. Looks like they're in a nice house there, and they I don't know why we weren't in that house
because
when we were in Mille Lacs.
Because it's not Gary Benson's. It's his buddies. He's got all kinds of friends, man.
So speaking to Devil's Lake, we have a message from Kristen Merwin, our good friend. Says, thanks for the referral to Devil's Lake, guys. We had an amazing time. 44 women from Wham! Made the trek to Devil's Lake this weekend. We couldn't do it, but 44 ladies did. They battled blizzard conditions and closed freeways, but nothing stops these gals from fishing. Jason Mitchell made a surprise guest appearance to give tips and tactics. Great weekend at Woodlands Resort. And Woodlands Resort is a great place to stay. We've
been
there
a few
times.
That is a great place in Devil's.
And also our friend Bill Katz says, hey, guys, hope things are going well. And he took a picture from – he's sitting outside of his nice ice house there. So thanks, Bill. Thanks, Kristen. And thanks, Billy Benson.
Hey, big shout out to Lake Osakis Guide Service Scott Merwin. He said, Mark Lukey beat the bite. Nice catch on Mille Lacs. And then this is right at home at Mark Fisher's territory right here. There was a couple big tournaments that went on. And the Bassmaster, some guy decided to go out today and catch 35 pounds. And now I forgot his name, Mark, so I look like an idiot on radio. But what's his name again, Mark? Do you know his name?
Today.
Huh?
I was playing in the snow today.
You were shoveling too. I think it was Clunz or whatnot. He came in and he weighed in over 100 pounds of bass in a couple days. And then in the FLW tournament, big congrats to Buddy Gross, who came in and caught like another 25-pound bag. So there was a huge amount of bass fishing going on this weekend down south in Florida on those big spawn in Florida.
Yeah, I've got a shout out myself. You were talking about snow and all that and shoveling and plowing and whatnot. My son Mike is a general contractor, and his job is building things, but he also does some snow plowing, and he's getting hammered the last couple of weeks. And so I had an opportunity to step in and go to my granddaughter's daddy-daughter dance on Thursday. So, Amber, I love you, kitten. Thanks for inviting me to go to daddy-daughter dance on Thursday, and we just had a wonderful Valentine's dance. It was just a great time. And Mike, keep working, pal. Make some money, buddy.
Editor's note, it was Rick Klun. Rick Klun won it today. Yep, he took it over. So Rick Klun was able to come in with like a 35-pound bag and take it over. Now, Strew.
Yes, sir.
We were joking back and forth about who's on the show tonight, but you got some big guests coming on, right?
I got a big guest coming up. Well, I got a couple of them, as a matter of fact, and thanks for mentioning that. But Chris Cruzy, if you guys know anything about Chris Cruzy, have you ever seen the television show The Voice? If you haven't, you're living under a rock. Chris Cruzy's kind of a local guy. Kind of a local guy, and he's been playing around the five-state area for many, many years. He's probably 30, 35 years old, give or take, or something like that. He does 200 shows a year, and he took second on The Voice 2018, just finished up in December, I think. And we followed him, and he's going to be on. I think he hunts and fishes. I used to, because this is the 4 Outdoorsman. So, Chris, if you're listening, lie if you have to. Just tell us you got a fishing rod anyway. Chris Cruzy is going to be on first. Can't wait for that. And then, Pete, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, tell us about the guy from Chitek that you talked to in the ice house.
Yeah, this is Bruce Kamrath.
Yeah,
is that we're talking about?
Yeah, the guy who fell through the ice.
Yeah, Bruce Kamrath. He's a darn near lifelong resident of Chitek, Wisconsin. He's fished in the chain of lakes there for many, many, many years. Taught at Chitek High School for 30 years. And about 3 years ago, unfortunately, went through the ice. And he's done this, again, thousands of times. If it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. Fortunately, he's fine. And we have somebody helped him get out of the ice. And we'll tell the whole story. It's a miracle. And let's talk about
that. And real big shout-out to the Ultimate Pan Fishing League. They're up on Pokegama in Rush City. And I was talking to a friend of the show, Thane Jensen, and they were bringing in bluegills that were like 0.6 of a pound.
Chris Cruzy, 4 Outdoorsman next.
Checking in with the 4 Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there is no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Aranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota Whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic, March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
Don't miss the Gun and Knife Show this Saturday and Sunday, February 15th and 16th at the new Stillwater Armory. Open 9 to 5 Saturday and 9 to 3 Sunday, only $5 per day. Kids under 12 free when accompanied by a responsible adult. Buy, sell, trade guns, knives, military weapons, relics, and collectibles all in one location. The Gun and Knife Show at the new Stillwater Armory this Saturday and Sunday, the 15th and 16th. For more information, visit CrocodileProductions.com. That's CrocodileProductions.com.
All right, happy frozen Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. Boomer here. And that's exactly what I thought when I pulled out the Vexilar on Mille Lacs this time, because the walleyes were popping. We dealt with the negative bite, but guess what? Our Vexilar has never failed us. We used the FLX-28 all weekend long, along with the K-Drill, able to drill holes even when our gas auger would freeze up. To learn more about Vexilar and the FLX-28 or the K-Drill, visit Vexilar.com.
Springtime is almost here. It's the perfect time to tackle the next job on your list. And AutoZone has the free services to help you do it. Like our free loaner tool program. You can choose from over 100 specialty tools, borrow the one you need, and get the job done right. Got more to do? We've got more for you to do it. And right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic or Full Synthetic High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for $17.99 after a $15 AutoZone gift card by mail. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Deposit required. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You know when you have about a billion things to do today, and then you realize you're out of whatever it is that you really need, and next day shipping isn't going to cut it because you really need it in like an hour. Yeah, that's when you turn to Office Depot Office Max. Buy what you need online at officedepot.com or on our app and pick it up in store for free in just 1 hour, so you can get back to whatever else is lurking on your to-do list. Now save up to 50% at the Big Chair event. That's up to 50% off at Office Depot Office Max. Offer expires February 16th, 2019.
When I was younger, my daddy used to tell me to watch my mouth. But when you're raising Cain, you can't help the way some words come out. I had some four-letter jams.
Chris Cruzy, are you there, my friend?
When I got
Chris?
Older, I figured out.
Do we have Chris on the... Hey, Chris.
Hello?
Chris, how are you?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Every day's a gift, friend. I say every day's a gift all the time. Where are you? Are you at home right now?
Yeah, I am. Yep.
Well, how does it feel to be home?
It feels amazing. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I could go with not as much snow, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Hey, we're talking with Chris Cruzy. He's the, of course, if you guys. Like I said, if you haven't lived under a rock, you know who Chris Cruzy is. Everybody around the Midwest has been following him and supporting him during his quest on The Voice. He came in second in 2018, and congratulations. I'm excited about you. Let's talk about your background, Chris. You were born and raised in Barron, Wisconsin, right?
Yep, that's right.
Now, have you? Now, this is the Four Outdoorsmen Fishing. Hey, by the way, you've got some familiarity here because I'm in the studio where you were 3 years ago on the Homegrown show.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're looking at then.
So who are you? Who was the host of the Homegrown show back then?
PT.
It was PT. All right, he's a good guy.
Yep.
He's still out here kicking as well. And And the song that you the song that Brandon was just playing was on one of the.
The Bob CD,
for the military of troops, whatever that song was probably 3 years ago, I think, and we're ready to have you back in the Homegrown show again, I think.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Tell me about your background. Now this is the Four Outdoorsmen. Have you ever hunted and fished in your life?
Oh yeah, I grew up. I mean, I it's kind of hard to explain it. I guess the best way I can put it is I kind of had like a 1970s upbringing in the 90s. We lived in the middle of the woods. We didn't have cable. We didn't have video games. We didn't have internet. You know, we had fishing poles, 22s, and bikes. And that's kind of what we did. We had a little creek that ran through the woods in the back of the house, and there was crayfish and chubs and stuff in there, and we'd put minnow traps in there and grab them and go catch northern and the bigger rivers, and that's kind of what we did. One day we were looking, I don't know why we did this, we had fishing poles, but we found these dowel rods in the garage my dad had sitting there, so we notched out the ends of them, tied some fishing line on them, and found some bare hooks, and then we went and we'd grab snails off the rocks in the creeks, and we'd catch chubs all day.
That's something to teach your kid. That a boy. Here's Boomer.
Hey, Chris. Boomer here. Thanks for joining us tonight, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You know, Chris, we all spend, and I spend a lot of time in the woods and on the water. And when I'm out there sometimes, the fish always aren't biting or the whitetail aren't always showing up. And I spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, my future, work, home and stuff. When you were out fishing or catching creek chubs or catching those big pike in Wisconsin, did you often think about your musical career and write songs while you're doing that?
I didn't necessarily write songs while I was doing that. A lot of times, though, I remember I had my dad's old Walkman, like the tape player.
Yeah.
And I would ride my bike with a fishing pole, and I'd have that Walkman, and I always had either Lynyrd Skynyrd or like Hank Williams Jr. Or once in a while, I'd have Chuck Berry in there, and I'd always be listening to music when I was out there doing that stuff.
Hey, Chris, did you do like I did and record songs off the radio on a cassette player?
Yeah, we did. We used to call in, actually, the 96.1 WJMC. We used to call in, and we'd request songs. I remember one day we did it for Friends in Low Places, Garth Brooks.
You know what, Chris? Speaking of that, I have to ask you. So, you know, I watched you on The Voice when you sang "Call 'Em Baton Rouge" because Garth Brooks. I'm a big fan of him. I'm surprised just what you said. You didn't sing "Friends in Low Places." Did they tell you had to say "Call 'Em Baton Rouge" or was "Friends in Low Places" an option?
I just wanted to do "Call 'Em Baton Rouge" just because it's so high energy. It's got the really cool fiddle stuff in there, and yeah, I don't know. That's a super fun song. I love playing that one.
Hey, we're talking to Chris Cruzy, of course, second in The Voice this year. And what's fun about it, Chris, is that I've met you many, many times at Gilligan's and Reds and Chautauqua.
Oh, done.
Yeah, and you've been all over the place. And you have to remember who we are because every time we see you, my wife hollers out, "Tennessee whiskey, Tennessee whiskey." And you say, "Later, okay, I'll do it later." Because you do that really, really well. And Kate Bollinger is now a friend of ours, and I've seen her and her husband follow you and support you for long. Yeah, they're great, great people. They support you.
They've become really good friends over the last. I met them, I think, 9 years ago, and just become really good friends with them over the years.
Yeah, every time we'd go to, as a matter of fact, last summer when we were at Gilligan's and it was a beautiful day and you're set out there doing your thing and he's passing around business cards and he's saying, "Hey, there's something really big coming up with Chris, but I can't tell you guys yet. I can't tell you guys yet," which means you already had signed up for The Voice and all that. How do you sign up for The Voice? Does someone have to contact you or do you just go apply, audition?
There's a million different ways you can do it. Mine was kind of a weird circumstance. I was a last-minute add-on. I didn't do any of the preliminary auditions or anything that they do. I got an email and they invited me out to LA to do the blind auditions. So that was kind of the start of it for me was the blind auditions. But a lot of times there's, you know, open call auditions where they'll have thousands of people come in cities like Minneapolis or Chicago or something like that. And they'll do those and then they do callbacks and then they do executives and then it's the blind. So I got to skip all that.
Well, you got that's wonderful. Yeah,
that's I don't think it's because I was like a godsend to them by any means, but I think it was they needed another contestant, and so I guess I was on their radar, and
they needed
it just worked out.
Yeah, they needed some long haired redneck kid who lost about 80 pounds. That's all they needed.
Yeah.
I'll tell the story after I get Boomer.
Chris, question for you. So when you're on The Voice, you know, that's NBC. That's a really big deal. And I know the judges are big deals themselves. Was there any judge that you kind of related with better than the others that maybe you talked to when you were off air or just you could feel that connection?
Definitely with Blake. Other than Blake, though, Kelly was just she's just total down home, small town, just completely normal.
Yeah.
The other ones I just didn't really get any time with, and it was just kind of random that I ended up getting any time with Kelly because we were just sitting there at rehearsal, and she just came in. She was sitting in on rehearsal that day, and I sat down next to her and ended up BSing with her and her husband for about 40 minutes.
Do you ever stay in touch with superstars like Blake anymore? I mean, can you call him up, or do you guys ever still chat?
Yeah, a little bit. They're back into full swing of the show already again. I think it starts airing in a couple weeks or something. But yeah, I've talked to him a little bit. But he's not coming over to my house to watch football on Sundays or anything.
Yeah, he's not going to go catch crawfish with you back in the creek. Hey, is there a chance that you can front Blake sometime, someplace in one of his tours?
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully. That'd be cool.
Okay. Well, hopefully it does. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I want to talk about one thing I have a question about is when you start, are you going to go play in Chautauqua and Rice Lake and all these places again as things slow down for you? Because you got a full summer coming up.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear you.
Well, are you going to be singing at Reds and Gilligan's and places this summer? I looked at your schedule. You have a real, real full summer. But one thing slowed down. Are you going to go back and hit the pub scene a little bit and make everybody back in Chautauqua and Barron happy again?
Yeah, you know, there's going to be time for that. It's a tricky game booking all these bigger things. You know, there's radius clauses and contracts involved and rules. You can't play certain areas, certain times with the bigger shows like Country Jam and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Put some restraints on it, but. We're figuring that out as we go, I want to go back and do some of that stuff for sure.
Speaking about that, you are doing Country Jam, you said, right?
Yep.
Well, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's going to be a blast. We're doing three nights.
Oh, good for you. Go ahead, Boom.
Hey, Chris, was there a certain point when you were, involved in The Voice or after The Voice maybe, where you sit back and you go, I can't believe this is really happening to me?
The first night of the live shows, I mean, all of it, even prior to that, was crazy, but the live shows is like a special kind of crazy because it's actual live TV, and that's terrifying. I mean, you screw up, and it lives forever, and millions of people see it, and then, making the live shows, it was just kind of surreal. It just didn't feel real. I don't know. I don't know how else to put it.
You know, it's funny that, I'm going to ask you this. Do you consider yourself a singer or a guitar player? And if you had to choose one, which one would you be?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I'm a guitar player before I'm a singer. I sing a lot more than I do guitar work now. I don't know. That's a tough one. I'd probably have to sing at this point.
You know, but the reason I ask you that is because I love your voice. We've been following the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years in Chautauqua and all the pub scenes you go to. But on The Voice this year, and we've watched it a lot, we're groupies, there was tons of talent. And I'll tell you, I'm gonna say four names here, and I want you to give me one little sentence about this competition, about these people, because there are some beautiful voices. One of those was Mackenzie Thomas. Tell me something about Mackenzie Thomas and her voice.
Mackenzie Thomas is like she sings. I don't know how to put it. I can't sing like that. She it just kind of flows out of her. We lived in a hotel for 6 months with everybody, So she's constantly singing. You know, that's when people get really good at what they do. It's just from doing it a lot.
She is
constantly singing.
Well, Mackenzie,
all the time.
Yeah, Kimberly Chevelle, of course, who won. Kennedy Homer, they're unbelievable voices. And somehow the public looked at Chris Cruzy and said, this man is it. So I think when it gets to the point of the final judging, that's more than the voice, it's the whole package. And you just made everybody feel good. And I think that's one of the reasons you won is because you related to people, the average guy, because it's not only talented, but everyone seemed to like you for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I think I just tried to stay tried to stay true to myself. And I mean, they did throw some goofy stuff at me, and I said no. You know, I've got a little bit of that Norwegian blood in me, so I can be kind of stubborn. But I don't think that's all bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's all bad at all. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Chris, it's Mark here. It's really cool to see, and of course, we're all cheering for you, and we drive through Barron all the time, and like I remember when the tornado went through Barron, and it's just cool to see someone from a small town. I'm from Wisconsin as well, to really make it. What was it? Because you didn't start overnight. I mean, you've been grinding it out in the pubs for a long time, and what is it like just hitting a switch and all of a sudden you're known nationally? I mean, is it just kind of crazy? I mean, how do you deal with all of a sudden everyone knows who you are?
It's I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. Around here, around Barron, it's for the most part, I'm still just Chris, you know. I mean, my family's been here forever, so we know everybody. And you know, people come up to me if I go to Walmart and stuff, and they'll want pictures and stuff, which is just fine. But it's just a little different. But it's not, even prior to this, it's not uncommon for me to run to the store for, let's say, hypothetically, I'm running to the store to get milk and eggs, and which should take me 15 minutes, and then I end up being gone for an hour and a half because I ran into five people that I know and I haven't seen in a while, so I ended up sitting in BS. And, so that's kind of normal for me, but yeah, it's a little different.
Cool.
Chris, after, you know, you were involved in The Voice and now you're known nationally, was there any, like, with this national fame, were there any surprises that you're like, man, I didn't think it was going to be like this when you got to this kind of level?
Man, I don't know. Like, just the online stuff is what blows my mind. Like, I put a picture up with my wife and kids last week. We went snow tubing at Christie Mountain over by Weyerhaeuser, and it got like 5,000 some hits or something on Facebook. That's weird to me.
Hey, you were talking about family. I know you're married to Mara, I believe her name is, and you got Bella and Finley are the kids, but you got a dog named Meatloaf. How the hell is that name? Is it named after the singer and the band guy Meatloaf?
Yep.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
He's big and clumsy, and I thought it just got a fit.
I'm going to ask you about something that's pretty dear to your heart. You went, I think last year, maybe the year before, you went with Chris Hawkey to, I think it was Kuwait, to sing for the military.
Yeah.
Tell us all about that story. That's a big, big deal.
Yeah, I've done 7 of those tours now.
Wow. Attaboy. Attaboy.
Yeah, it's so much fun because, you know, selfishly, it's really cool to get to travel and do that. And then, you know, you go over there, and I've seen pictures and I've heard stories about how it's miserable to be deployed like that. But then going there, I mean, I've only ever been there for like 5 or 6 days at the most, and it's miserable. I mean, it's hot, and they're working all the time. You know, they're not just sitting around twiddling their thumbs. They're working like 80-hour-a-week jobs, and it's just nuts. And you know, I brought up a Google map on my phone when I was over there, and it's like you're 8,000 miles away from home, and that's just an unsettling feeling. So to be able to just bring a couple hours of, you know, maybe they can forget where they're at, have a couple of beers, listen to some good music, and then after the show, hang out, and we get to meet everybody, and that's what it's all about. Just letting them guys kind of forget where they are for a few minutes.
I'll tell you what, thanks for doing that because it's very, very important. We're proud of you for doing that as well, even though I know you thoroughly enjoy it, especially being with someone like Chris Hawkey. Got one more question for you. We're going to let you go.
Yeah.
We're going to get Bruce Camrath on, a gentleman from Chitek. If you get a chance to listen to the rest of the show, you'll enjoy this story as well. I've got to ask you this. Is Mara concerned that because of your big notoriety, now that you're a celebrity and all that kind of stuff, is she concerned like someone like Carrie Underwood is going to take you away?
What's that? No, I don't think so. She got a good confidence boost while we were in L.A. because Blake got to meet her, and he came up to me right after he met her. He said, "Hey, I just met your wife." I'm like, "Oh, good." He just looked at me straight face, and he just very seriously said, you know you married way out of your league, right?
Wonderful. Hey, Chris, I'll tell you what, congratulations. Have a great career. We hope we see you at the Gilligan's or Reds here sometime this summer. Take care, and thanks for being on the Four Outdoors, my buddy.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good one. Talk to you guys later.
All right, take
thanks,
care,
Chris.
Buddy. Yep. Fun.
Bye-bye.
That's fun.
Wow. Overnight, national superstar.
No, overnight, but he's been playing for 20 years.
But
you know,
I'm saying getting on The Voice and being at that type of stage and then taking second place.
He does 200 shows a year, 200 gigs a year.
Not anymore.
Yeah, and he's got a full schedule coming up here. But if you get a chance, follow him, do something like that, and you'll appreciate who Chris Cruzy is. He's the real deal.
All right, who's next, Drew, after break?
We got Bruce Kamrath joining us from Chautauqua, Wisconsin. This is Cheesehead Show tonight. Join us in a couple of minutes for Outdoorsman.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime. You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen, part of Bob Outdoors.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
The 2019 Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic will be back at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds March 8th through the 10th with deer hunting seminars, turkey calling seminars, and more. The 2019 Classic is also your chance to meet some of the biggest names in the hunting industry. Headliners include Tom Miranda, Melissa Bachman, and the mountain man Laramie Miller. Bring your friends and have your Minnesota whitetail antlers scored for free. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic March 8th through the 10th. Visit mndeerclassic.com for more.
If you or someone you know has a great mechanical aptitude, understands trailers, can weld, and is looking for a great place to get a new job, Crystal Welding wants to talk to you. Crystal Welding is your go-to welding and fabrication shop for solutions, service, and results. And they're looking for a trailer mechanic to start immediately. Work for Crystal Welding because they're great people who get the job done right the first time. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new welding job, contact Crystal Welding at crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. Your jobs are small because we do it all.
Hi, it's Jim Erickson from the All Request Lunch Hour here on Bob FM, and we are now at the Legion in Richfield every Wednesday. The Minneapolis Richfield American Legion Post number 435, Portland Avenue, south of the Crosstown, every Wednesday now, noon to 1, right here on Bob FM.
Hi there, me again, your radio. I thought what we'd do this time is go to the email bag, answer some of your questions. So our first email comes from Bob. He writes, "Dear Radio, I run a small furniture store in town, and I'm looking to grow my business. Do you have any suggestions? Well, Bob, to be successful, you need to reach out to new customers on an ongoing basis. That's where I come in. Radio reaches around 93% of the population each week, making it a great way to get the word out about your business. And radio delivers results at a fraction of the cost of other media, making it a great investment." Okay, our next email is from Bert. He says, "Dear Radio, I took a young lady out on a first date. After 20 minutes of talking, she went to the ladies' room to powder her nose. It's been 4 months since I've seen her. What do you suggest I do?" Well, Bert, that's a tough one, but I'd consider maybe a woman with a smaller nose.
Hi, this is Brad Clark, General Sales Manager at Bob FM. Call me at 763-412-4643 or go to radioadvertisingminnesota.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're all set. Back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Strewman here. Mark Lukey, producer's over there in the corner. Boomer's here. Brennan's behind the glass. Hey, Brennan, have we got another guest? Hey, Bruce, are you there, my friend?
I'm here.
Bruce Kamrath. Well, I tell you what, I'm glad you're there, and you're glad you're there. Bruce lives in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. Of course, everybody knows who listens to this show that my wife and I have a place on Prairie Lake and have for, and Boomer's been there, and Mark Lukey's been there. And we've been up there for about 30 years. I've never met Bruce, but I know Bruce has been a teacher at the Chautauqua in the school system for a good 30 years himself. Bruce, tell us a little bit about your background, okay? You live in Chautauqua, Wisconsin right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a teacher here at the high school for some 30 years and retired about 8 years ago. And certainly what I guess you'd call an avid outdoorsman. I hear you guys talking about Mille Lacs and the flats, and that's near and dear to me. My brother and I spent a lot of great time there, and my son and I recently were there. Really enjoy that. And then you're talking to Chris Cruzy, who's I'm one of his biggest fans. So, so far, you guys are batting 1,000 tonight.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Boomers, well, now that you brought it up, we're going to talk about what you went through about 3-4 weeks ago as well. But now you mentioned Mille Lacs, and you've been there a lot. Boomer's going to talk to you about Mille Lacs, right, Boomer?
Yeah. You know, Bruce, we got up there to Mille Lacs. We were on our way to Devil's Lake, but the blizzard came in, and we got some high winds out there. And the flat seemed to be where holding the fish, but the temperature was dropping. How did you guys do? Have you been ice fishing on when's the last time you went out on Mille Lacs?
You know, I have never actually been ice fishing there. I've only been there during the summer. But when you say the wind come up, that my dad and I were out there at one time, and the wind came out of nowhere. And, of course, that's such a shallow lake. And I had one of those kind of a low front-end bass boats. And all I remember is when we got back to shore, my dad, honest to God, got out and kissed the ground.
Oh, boy.
I've been there, Bruce. I've been there.
It was he had never been through anything like that, and
hey, Bruce,
he didn't ever want to go fishing with me there again. So.
I remember the first time I was on Mille Lacs as well, about 25, 35 years ago, whatever it was, and I was scared to death. I was with Gary Nielsen and Bruce Bernards, and I'll tell you, we were in a 16-foot boat, I think, but it was scarier than hell. And it took a long time for me to, like what you went through recently, it took me a long time to go back on Mille Lacs. Hey, speaking about that, Now what did you teach in Chautauqua, at Chautauqua High School? What level and all that?
I was the high school band director.
Attaboy. In 30 years, so are you from the area originally as well?
I'm from Cameron originally.
Well, yep. Heck, that's, you can jog home from there, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I'll tell you what. So let's talk about. So if you've been out there and you're an outdoors person, and thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsmen. We're talking with Bruce Kamrath from Chautauqua, Wisconsin, and by the way, a good friend of mine, Gene Schoenfuss, says hi. Gene is a big fisherman out there. He fishes at least, honest to God, in the summer, I bet he fishes at least 5 days a week on the Chautauqua chain. How often are you on the Chautauqua chain, and how's fishing been for you the last couple of years?
Well, I tell you, I kind of go. I've got certain times that I go. My favorite fishing is fly rod fishing for those monster bluegills during the spawn in the spring.
Oh, fun!
I go to Canada every year. But if you said you can only have one kind of fishing left in your life, that's what I do, because when you get those big pound bluegills that are digging on an ultralight fly rod, there's just nothing more fun.
Is there any particular place on the chain where you try to catch those big bluegills in the spawning time? Because when we go up toward like the Wolf's Den, my wife and I go out there to party, play around the golf, work in the yard, and hop in the pontoon. That's our life. And we go up to the Wolf's Den every once in a while. There's always someone up there in the spring by those bogs up there in that island up there on the way to Wolf's Den who's fishing with a fly rod trying to catch some of those panfish. Is that one of your favorite spots?
Well, I tell you what. I'm not going to tell you where my favorite spots are.
You're
I
a
made
smart
the mistake
man.
Once of telling, you know, of taking my son out, and he was working at the Rod and Gun, local bait shop here. And so the next night I came down and there was 7 boats sitting in my private spot.
Oh, that's funny. That's
so
funny.
I'm not so dumb as to tell anybody those spots I go anymore. So.
I tell you what, we've been doing the show for 5 years, and we're on Bob Total Country, the 4 Outdoorsman. Again, thanks for joining us tonight. And something happened to you about 3 weeks ago. We've told stories about this often over the last 5 years, some good, some bad. We had a gentleman that we had on 2 years ago up in the St. Cloud area who went through the ice because he wanted to be the first one on the ice, and his wife thought he was nuts, and no life jacket, none of this stuff, no ice picks and that kind of crap. He was in the water 9 feet under the ice for 20 minutes and survived. It's an amazing story. You're a very experienced fisherman. How could something like this happen to you, and tell us a story?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not something that I enjoy talking about.
Right.
And when Stu called me, if it wouldn't be that maybe something that I say would help somebody that gets in a situation like this, I honestly don't like talking about it.
And I sincerely appreciate that, because we learn, and we have a big wide audience all the way from Rochester, Minnesota, Western Wisconsin, up into Alexandria. And if you can teach one person, say one thing to one person that makes a difference, It's well worth the interview.
And that's why I'm here, guys.
Appreciate that.
I can tell you that it was January 7th, and we had just had we've had a crazy winter. I mean, it was warm, 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 no snow. And now, of course, it won't stop snowing. But up until on that weekend, it was way above average, and the snow that was on the ice had melted, and so it was glare ice out there with a couple inches of water on the ice. But I'd been out fishing, and I've been was catching some just beautiful bluegills, 9, 9.5-inch bluegills. And that particular Monday, it was foggy, and it was kind of a light rain, and everything in my body said they're going to absolute hammer today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I headed out. God tried to tell me four times not to go. My wife told me not to go. When I got to the landing I go to, I saw some open water on the side. And it was so foggy, I said, if I fall through, nobody's going to see me. So I came back. I got on my four-wheeler, and the winch broke on my four-wheeler when I was bringing up my plow. But that didn't deter me. Then I went down to the landing right close to my place. I live on Chautauqua Lake. And when I tried getting on, I bottomed out on this ice ridge that was pushed up on there. And I still, after all of that, I still insisted I had to be going out there. And so I did. And I was actually going, over by a spot that's called the Pekegama Bridge. It's between Gilligan's and Pekegama there.
Yep.
And there's an ice, a pressure ridge that, I've known about. Like I say, I've lived here and I've fished ice fishing all the time here, just about every day. And I've gone over that spot no less than 1,000 times. And I had just watched a truck drive over it 3 days before.
Hmm.
And I was actually following those same tracks. And as I got close to the spot, I didn't realize that the sandbar came out from the other shore as much. I knew it on the west side towards the town side. There's always a little bit of open water, and I know about that. But there was a crack in the ice there. But as I looked ahead, I saw it was kind of slushy. And so I gave it on the four-wheeler. And I'm flying along pretty hard. And I'll tell you, when they say everything changes in the blink of an eye,
mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened. Because the front end of the four-wheeler went down. And the plow caught the ice ridge. And it sent me over the handlebars. I bent the handlebars. I smashed the plow all up. And I flew, I'm guessing, in the neighborhood of 10 yards. And when I hit the ice hard, and I busted through. I had a snowmobile helmet on, simply because it was kind of a light rain, and I wear glasses. I didn't want to get my glasses all wet, so I had this helmet on with a visor. And I hit my head hard when I hit, and I bust through the ice, and I went underneath the ice shelf.
Wow.
And it's like I said, a blink of an eye. All of a sudden, you realize, oh my God, this isn't good, And I remember the first thought that came to my head is, the water's still green. Why is the water still green? And then I was reaching up, trying to find some ice to pull myself up, and everything that I grabbed broke. And I kept, and I'm a big man. I'm up around 300 pounds, so. For me, and I was fully dressed. I had all my heavy stuff and everything as heavy as I could have on, I had on. And I kept pulling myself up, and I could not get up. So finally, the only thing I could do was a piece of that ice that I had busted off. I managed to tuck that underneath my left arm, and it held, and I got my head above water. And I looked back and I could see my four-wheeler was nose down, and that was probably, come to find out, that was only in maybe like 3 feet of water where that ridge was, but I couldn't have gotten back to it. I had reached for bottom, when I was under the ice, and there was no bottom there. And I couldn't get back to it if I absolutely, and there was no way I could get there. You can't swim, and the ice was busting off. And so, you're flailing around. And so I've watched videos and I've read stories and outdoor life and things like that. And I knew enough that they tell you you've got like 1 to 3 minutes where you hyperventilate. And I was absolutely frantic, trying to get out and finally breathe. And, of course, I had a snowmobile helmet that was filled with water. And so I was afraid to take my hand off that piece of ice, but I finally took one hand off enough to flip that visor up so I could breathe. And then you finally, the other thing that I've always had listened to people say is you need to slow down.
Yeah, I imagine, yeah.
You have to slow everything down because everything's going a million miles an hour. I mean, I was in a bad place. I won't lie. The thoughts that were going through my head was I would never get to say goodbye to my kids. I wasn't so much worried about my wife because she had told me not to go out there in the first place.
Hey, listen, but I'll tell you what. Let's move forward to Wade LeMoyne driving across the Pekegama Bridge and happening to see you. And let's get to that part of the recovery if we could. We got about maybe two or three minutes left. And without him being in the right place, the right time, we would not be having this conversation.
You're right. I watched cars drive over the bridge for a while. I was in the water between 15 and 20 minutes.
Ooh.
And when I finally saw a truck go across and put his brake lights on, and all I was doing was hanging onto that one piece of ice. That's all I had to hang on for life. And the gentleman that came out, his name was Wade LeMoyne. He was a former student of mine.
Oh, wow.
I
hope you gave him an A.
He came out, and as luck would have it, he's been training. He's on our local fire department, and he's been training.
That's amazing.
And he came out on his belly, and took him five times to get me the rope. And by that time, I had lost all feeling in my arms and legs. And I, with one last ditch effort, I grabbed the rope and wrapped it around my left arm and tucked that under me. And then I went back under the ice again because he was sliding. He couldn't. It was all water on top of glare ice.
Yeah.
And so another gentleman came out and tied a rope onto him. And he had called 911 before he came out. And then another one came out and tied a rope on his legs. And then some other guys apparently got behind him to pull me out. And by the time they got me up to shore it looked like the beginning of a parade on the 4th of July around there, but it was... My core temp was under 30 when they got me up to the hospital, and that was an hour after I'd been out of the ice. So,
I can tell just by the tone of your voice, Bruce, that this is a very, very hard story for you to share. But if there's one thing, and thank God you're alive, because I told you I went through the ice by Mike's Lakeshore years ago, 30 years ago as well, and that was because of my own stupidity. I'm a left-handed Pollock from the east side of St. Paul, so I have an excuse there. But if there's one thing that you could share with our listeners that might make a difference in their lives if they ever get involved in a situation like this, what would it be?
Well, I can think of two things real quick.
All
number
right.
one, like I said, is slowing everything down.
There you go.
You have to get your wits about you. I mean, my blood pressure and everything was, they were treating me for a stroke. It was bad. There's no two ways about it. But since that time, the first thing I went out and bought was a Frable, what my daughter calls a floaty Cody.
There you go.
It's one that's got floats in it and got the picks to at least try and pull yourself up to some degree. But it all happened to me so incredibly fast. And if I hadn't been wearing a helmet, again, I don't think we'd be having a conversation.
Yeah, you would be dead. If he would hit your head on the ice, it's all over. And let's see, what was I going to ask you? I forget what it is, but I tell you what. Well,
we were going to talk about the fishing on Chautauqua.
Well, no, I'll tell you what. This is taking a little bit longer than I anticipated, but we're going to wrap this up. I thank you very much for being on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. We pray to God that anyone who's listening does not get involved in this situation. If they do, be careful, be careful, be careful. And if God's saying, hey, get your ass out of the water or get your ass back on shore, you better listen to God next time. Thanks a lot for being on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman, Bruce.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, take care. I'll see you in town.
Yep,
I'll tell you what we got to go now. Thanks for listening to the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. Thanks from Boomer, Mark Lukey, Strewman. Boomer's got something to say.
Get outdoors.